even though we're short in number, that's all right. We're going to go ahead and read from Numbers, because this is what we'd have done if everyone was here anyway. We were wanting to finish reading chapters 8, 9, and 10, and then next week we'll begin taking the slower approach in chapter 11 up until the 20s, and then we'll go fast again when we get into the 20s. So basically what we're going to do is just read these chapters today, and then we'll pray and we'll be dismissed. So Numbers chapter 8. Numbers chapter 8, and we remember that the book of Numbers is written in between the time when Israel leaves Mount Sinai after Moses receives the Ten Commandments, and then it chronicles their time up till their rebellion and not going into the land of Canaan, and then they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And the book ends with the final census right when they're going to go into the land of Canaan after the 40 years, after that generation had died. So here we go. Chapter 8, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and say to him, when you set up the lamps, the seven lamps, that shall give light in front of the lampstand." And Aaron did so. He set up its lamps in front of the lampstand, as the Lord commanded Moses. And this was the workmanship of the lampstand, hammered work of gold, from its base to its flowers. It was hammered according to the pattern that the Lord had shown Moses. So he made the lampstand. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the Levites from among the people of Israel and cleanse them. Thus you shall do to them, to cleanse them. Sprinkle the water of purification upon them. Let them go with a razor over all their body. Wash their clothes and cleanse them. Let them take a bull from the herd and its grain offering and fine flour mixed with oil. And you shall take another bull from the herd for a sin offering. You shall bring the Levites before the tent of meeting and assemble the whole congregation of the people of Israel. When you bring the Levites before the Lord, the people of Israel shall lay their hands on the Levites. Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord as a wave offering from the people of Israel, that they may do the service of the Lord. Then the Levites shall lay their hands on the heads of the bull, and you shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering to the Lord to make atonement for the Levites. And you shall set the Levites before Aaron and his sons, and shall offer them as a wave offering to the Lord. Thus you shall separate the Levites from among the people of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that the Levites shall go on to serve at the tent of meeting when you have cleansed them and offered them as a wave offering. For they are wholly given to me from among the people of Israel. Instead of all who open the womb, the firstborn of all the people of Israel, I have taken them for myself. For all the firstborn among the people of Israel are mine, both of man and of beast. On the day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I consecrated them for myself. I have taken the Levites instead of all the firstborn from among the people of Israel. And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and his sons from among the people of Israel, to do the service for the people of Israel at the tent of meeting, and to make atonement for the people of Israel, and there may be no plague among the people of Israel when the people of Israel come near my sanctuary." Thus did Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the people of Israel to the Levites. According to all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, the people of Israel did to them. And the Levites purified themselves from sin and washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as a wave offering before the Lord, and Aaron made atonement for them to cleanse them. And after that, the Levites went in to do their service in the tent of meeting before Aaron and his sons, as the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so they did to them. Here, just quickly, the Levites are set aside as this tribe among the people who will serve in the temple. They'll be the ones that perform and serve in the temple, representing the people to God. So they are a mediator between God and the people. Right? The people themselves cannot go and do these things, but the Levites do it on their behalf. And the Levites are taken as a whole tribe, instead of the firstborn of every person given to the Lord. God has just claimed this one tribe for himself, and they are the ones who will do this. And in this way, they are a depiction of Christ to the people, because they serve the people they serve the Lord on behalf of the people, right? Doing those things that they themselves cannot do, the Levites do for them. And they have to be purified before they can perform this duty, showing that they themselves are sinners who themselves need purification and need satisfaction for their sins. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This applies to the Levites. From 25 years old and upward, they shall come to do duty in the service of the tent of meeting. And from the age of 50 years, they shall withdraw from the duty of the service and serve no more. They minister to their brothers in the tent of meeting by keeping guard, but they shall do no service. Thus shall you do to the Levites in assigning their duties. So their duty in the temple only lasts till they're 50 years old. And then after that, they no longer minister in that way. So we should retire when we're 50. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. We shouldn't really do that. After that, they can guard it, but they don't go in and perform those duties. So they're outside and they guard it, but they don't go in and do the duties on the inside. And the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, "Let the people of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time. On the 14th day of this month at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time. According to all of its statutes and all of its rules, you shall keep it." So Moses told the people of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover in the first month on the 14th day of the month at twilight in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the people of Israel did. And there were certain men who were unclean through touching a dead body, so that they could not keep Passover on that day. They came before Moses and Aaron on that day, and those men said to him, "We are unclean through a touching of a dead body. Why are we kept from bringing the Lord's offering at its appointed time among the people of Israel?" And Moses said to them, "Wait, that I may hear from the Lord what command concerning you." Here, they're keeping the Passover, and there's a group of men who have been exposed to a dead body, and so they've become ritually defiled. However, they don't like it because they want to bring an offering to the Lord. So their heart's in the right place. They want to offer an offering to God, but they've been defiled through this dead body, and so they want to know, what should we do? Because we want to make an offering to the Lord. And so Moses is going to speak to the Lord and find out what he should do concerning this situation. So the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, if any one of you or your descendants is unclean through touching a dead body or is on a long journey, he shall still keep the Passover of the Lord. In the second month, on the 14th day at twilight, they shall keep it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until morning, nor break any of its bones according to the statute for the Passover. They shall keep it. But if anyone who is clean and is not on a journey fails to keep the Passover, that person shall be cut off from among his people because he did not bring to the Lord's offering at its appointed time. That man shall bear his sin. And if a stranger sojourns among you and would keep the Passover to the Lord, according to the statute of the Passover and according to its rule, so shall he do. You shall have one statute, both for the sojourner and for the native." So here they're permitted to keep the Passover. And even if someone is on a journey and not in the land of Israel, they still should keep the Passover, wherever they are at. And if someone is there and is clean and they don't keep the Passover, then let them be put to death, is what he's saying. And then if a sojourner, someone who's not from Israel, wants to keep the Passover, let them keep the Passover as well, right? Let them, if they've converted to the true religion. Verse 15. "On the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of testimony. And at evening, it was over. It was over the tabernacle like the appearance of fire until morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud lifted from over the tent, and after that the people of Israel set out, and in the place where the cloud settled, there the people of Israel camped. At the command of the Lord, the people of Israel set out, and at the command of the Lord they camped. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they remained in the camp. And even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle many days, the people of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was a few days over the tabernacle, and according to the command of the Lord, they remained in the camp. Then according to the command of the Lord, they set out. Sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning. And when the cloud lifted in the morning, they set out. Or if it continued for a day and a night, when the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time that the cloud continued over the tabernacle, abiding there, the people of Israel remained in camp and did not set out. But when it lifted, they set out. At the command of the Lord, they camped. And at the command of the Lord, they set out. They kept the charge of the Lord and commanded in the command of the Lord by Moses." So in regards to their following God in this way, they're doing good, right? When the cloud comes down, that's where they camp. They set up the tabernacle and they make their camp there, and they stay there as long as the cloud is over the tabernacle. And when the cloud goes up over the tabernacle and moves on, then they pick up camp and they follow the cloud, and wherever it rests, that's where they make their next camp. So in this way, God is teaching them through gradual steps, through very small steps, that they ought to follow Him. They ought to be devoted to Him. They ought to go wherever God leads them, right? And trust Him, and this is what they are doing, right? At this point, this is what they're doing in regards to the cloud and in setting up camp and in setting out. And they're being faithful to the Lord in this. But we'll see in chapter 11 that they don't learn the ultimate lesson from this. They do it temporarily, but they're not fully committed to the Lord. For when God commands them to go into the land and to take possession of it, they won't do it, right? They're scared to do so. Chapter 10, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Make two silver trumpets. Of hammered work you shall make them, and you shall use them for summoning the congregation and for breaking camp. And when both are blown, all the congregation shall gather themselves to you at the entrance of the tent of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the chiefs, the heads of the tribes of Israel, shall gather themselves to you. When you blow an alarm, the camps that are on the east side shall set out. And when you blow an alarm the second time, the camps that are on the south side shall set out. An alarm is to be blown whenever they are set out. But when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow a long blast, but you shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets. The trumpets shall be for you a perpetual statute throughout your generations. And when you go to war in your land against your adversary who oppressed you, and then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. On the day of your gladness also, and at your appointed feast, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over the burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offering. They shall be a reminder of you before God. I am the Lord your God." So here they have trumpets that indicate to them certain actions that they are to take, whether the whole congregation is together, whether only one is together, or only the chiefs are together, if they're to set out, if there's an alarm, these types of things. And again, this is where in the New Testament, that when Christ returns, there will be a trumpet blast, right? And this is where that is taken from. This was what was common among the Israelites during this time. The blast of the trumpet signaled what it was that they should do. And so also, Christ will signal His return with a blast of a trumpet. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. The dead in Christ shall rise. And then we who are alive will be caught up to the Lord, and then we will always be with Him. Verse 11. "In the second year, in the second month, on the 20th day of the month, the cloud lifted from over the tabernacle of testimony. And the people set out by stages from the wilderness of Sinai. And the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. They set out for the first time at the command of the Lord by Moses. The standard of the camp of the people of Judah set out first by their companions. And over their company was Nashon, the son of Amminadab. And over the company of the tribe of the people of Issachar was Nethanel, the son of Zuar. And over the company of the tribe of the people of Zebulun was Eliab, the son of Helon. And when the tabernacle was taken down, the sons of Gershon, the sons of Merari, who carried the tabernacle, set out. And the standard of the camp of Reuben set out by their companies, and over the company was Eleazar, the son of Shedeur. And over the company of the tribe of the people of Simeon was Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai. And over the company of the tribe of Gad was Eliasaph, the son of Duel." So here it's just giving the order. Remember that Judah went first. They camped them, the tabernacle in the middle, and then three tribes on the east, three tribes on the north, three tribes on the west, and three tribes on the south. And then the Levites and their tabernacle were in the middle of the camp. So now it's describing them leaving. So first Judah and the other two tribes that are with them head out first. And then the sons of Gershon and Merari, who are Levites, take down part of the tabernacle and they follow them. And then they are followed by Reuben, and by the ones who are with him, the other tribes that are with the tribe of Reuben. So Judah is the prominent in the first set of three, and then Reuben in the second set of three has the prominence. And in between them are these groups of Levites that are carrying part of the tabernacle. Okay, verse 21. "And then after Reuben and the other two with him, now the Kohathites set out, who are also Levites, carrying the holy things, and their tabernacle was set up before their arrival. So the reason they did this, the tabernacle was in between the contingent led by Judah and the contingent led by Reuben, and then the holy things came after Reuben. And again, we're talking about millions of people. So the first group would arrive, and they would arrive long before the next group would. And that was so that they had time to set up the tabernacle, so that when the holy things arrived, then they could put them in the tabernacle and they're not sitting out exposed to the weather and those types of things. That's so it all has an order and a purpose. So now the Kohathites set out carrying the holy things, and the tabernacle was set up before their arrival. And the standard of the camp of the people of Ephraim set out by their companies, and over their company was Eliashama the son of Ammihud, and over the company of the tribe of the people of Manasseh was Gamaliel the son of Pedahazur, and over the company of the tribe of Benjamin was Abidan the son of Gidoni. So here now, after the Kohathites with the holy things, you have this third group led by Ephraim. Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin, these three tribes, follow the holy things. Then comes the last one. Then the standard of the camp of the people of Dan, acting as a rear guard of all the camps set out by their companies, and over their company was Ahiezer, the son of Aminashadai, and over the company of the tribe of the people of Asher was Pagiel, the son of Ochran, and over the company of the people of Naphtali was Ahira, the son of Anon. And this was the order march of the people of Israel by their companies when they set out. And Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are setting out for the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will do good to you, for the Lord has promised good to Israel. But he said, I will not go. I will depart to my own land and to my kindred. And he said, please do not leave us. For you know where we should go and where we should camp in the wilderness, and you will serve as eyes for us. And if you do go with us, whatever good the Lord will do to us, the same will we do to you. So they set out from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them 3 days' journey to seek out a resting place for them, and the cloud of the Lord was over them by day whenever they set out from the camp. And wherever the Ark set out, Moses said, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you. And when it rested, he said, Return, O Lord, to the 10,000s of Israel. So here Moses is speaking to his brother-in-law, Hobab, who's the son of his father-in-law. Okay, so this is his brother-in-law who's been with them there in this place. And he wants him to go with him because he knows the territory. He knows the area. And so he would like to have someone with them who's familiar with the surroundings, with the settings, and those things. So just because God is going to be with them, they're trusting in the Lord. So Moses is not a man who lacks faith, but he is also a man of wisdom and one who wants good counsel and advice and someone who can be beneficial to them. And he knows that his brother-in-law, he knows the territory, he knows the area. And so he wants him to go with them to serve as a guide and someone who can give advice and wisdom to them on the surrounding area. And he promises him that if he goes with them and does good to them, then they will repay him. That whatever good the Lord does to them, God will do it to him as well. And so he compels him to go with them. And then they set out. And whenever they would set out, Moses would say, when the ark would set out to go find a new place, he would say, Arise, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered. Okay? Let those who hate you flee. So, Lord, our enemies, as we're going into these unknown territories, right? And these are not unoccupied territories. These are territories where people live, people who would be hostile to them. He's asking God to scatter our enemies, to make our path straight, make it smooth for us so that these enemies of yours don't come and destroy us. So scatter them, Lord, be against them. And then whenever they arrived, he would say, return to us, O Lord. So work on our behalf, benefit us, and destroy our enemies. All right, so there you see he understood a separation between the people of God and the people of the devil, or the enemies of God and those who are the children of God. He's asking and praying for God's mighty power to be against his enemies and for God's mighty power to be with them. And this is how he's praying for God to be with them and go with them. So we see here that it's not that in Moses asking for the brother-in-law's aid, it's not that he lacks faith or that he's trusting in men. He trusts in the Lord, but he also understands that God uses people to accomplish his purpose, and that this man could be a benefit to them and a help, and this is why he compels him to go with him. So that's Numbers chapter 8 through 10, and that gets us up to chapter 11, which is where we'll pick up next week, and we'll just start doing a chapter at a time. Okay, so with that, we're going to pray, and then we will be dismissed. And as we pray today, we mentioned this in Sunday school, and I'll mention it again. We want to pray specifically for a friend of mine named Jared James today. Jared James is a pastor in Tulsa, the pastor of the church that Dylan's brother, Sean, goes to. Jared is a faithful pastor, a faithful man of God. He's a good teacher of the Bible. He came to our conference last year. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know, right? He's a good guy. He's a really good pastor, a good Bible teacher, and he's resigning from the church today because some rascals in the church have turned against him, has stirred everyone up against him, and they're throwing him out, is what they're doing. And he's resigning so that he doesn't have to go through they were going to vote to remove him as the pastor, even though he's done nothing wrong. He's not had any moral failing. He doesn't have any doctrinal failings. He teaches what's in the Bible. He's not an immoral man. He's not a greedy man. He's not making millions of dollars off of them either. All he's done is good for them, and they're repaying the good that he's done. They're repaying with evil, right? Because he believes what's in the Bible. And so I know it's been hard for him. It's been hard for his family, his wife and children. And we want to pray for them today that things would go smoothly. And also, they were trying to negotiate a severance package for him where they, typically when these churches kick their pastors out, they'll at least give them a couple of months of pay so that they can land on their feet and try to find something else. It's not like you can go from one church to another one the next week. And many times they'll give them something. But even that, they were trying to balk at giving him anything, and then said, well, we'll give you something, but if anyone in the church says anything about what happened, any of your supporters come and say anything about what happened, then we're going to take it all away. So basically, hush, hush, hush. Everything's hush, hush. It's behind closed doors, in dark corners. This is how they operate. It's the same thing that happened at Ish up at OBU. They said, we'll pay you throughout the rest of the semester, but if you talk about it, then we'll give you nothing. And so there is hush money is what it is. And that's what they're trying to do to him, even though what he said was, how can he control? He can't control what other people say. All he can control is what he says. But if there's people in the church who are upset about his termination, of course they're going to voice their concern. But they want it to be, if they do, that then Jared will get nothing. So it's even unbelievers don't act like this. Even the world, seculars, when they have these types of dealings, even they don't act this wickedly. So it's really a bad situation. We need to pray for Jared today. So let's go to the Lord, and we'll pray for him that what God did for the people of Israel, let God go and scatter the enemies, and let him return to us. So let's pray in that regard for our friend Jared. Father, we do come to you today, and Lord, we are asking, Lord, coming to you on behalf of our friend, Jared James, Lord, who we know to be a faithful man of God, Lord, one who has deep convictions concerning your word, Lord, who has faithfully taught your word, Lord, who is also not living in any blatant sin. Lord, certainly we know that he's not a perfect man, but Lord, there's no flagrant sin that he's committing. Lord, he's also not greedy. He's not using the Bible or using the gospel as a way of gaining money or sordid gain. Lord, he is a faithful man of God. And yet, Lord, even in spite of this, he's being maligned. He's being ridiculed. Lord, he's been rejected by this church. Lord, not by all the people there, but by a few. Lord, a few who have rose up against him, and Lord, who have worked in secret ways, behind his back, slandering him, maligning him, Lord, doing all sorts of evil against him falsely. So, Lord, we pray that you protect Jared and his family. Lord, encourage them today in the faith. Lord, help them to see that, Lord, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And that, Lord, we ought not to be surprised when we're treated in this way, especially those who are called to be your servants, Lord, your messengers, those who you have called to be preachers of the gospel. That, Lord, people hate the truth of the Bible, and they will often attack the messenger of the word of God. And this is what has happened to Jared. And so, Father, we pray that you would sustain him. Lord, may he trust in your promises, knowing that you will lift him up in due time. Lord, you will ultimately get the victory over these things. And that, Lord, those who have shown themselves to be enemies, Lord, not enemies of him, but really enemies of yours, Lord, they may have a victory for a day, but in the end, Lord, you will silence them. You will come against them, and you will scatter all of our enemies. Lord, they will come and bow down at our feet, and they will know that you have loved us. So, Lord, may Jared know these things today. Lord, may he never doubt his ministry, his calling, Lord, the way that he has done things. Give him a clean conscience in this. Lord, also we pray for their future, that you provide employment for him, Lord, stability so that he can provide for his family. Lord, be with him and bless him. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.